This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Our final show for the month of May, and then we officially jump right into summer here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Next week's the Shrine Bowl. This weekend, Shrine Soccer Classic. We'll talk a moment about that, let you know who some of the kids that are playing. Unfortunately, it's not promoted very well, so we're going to try and do that for you a little bit on the show today. State golf wrapped up yesterday, and we will catch up with Overton coach Brian Fleischman here in just a moment. We're also going to talk with Greg Shea of the Viero Event Center in Tri-City Storm. That was the big news that broke right at the end of our program yesterday, that he is going to be leaving the organization, which he has been with basically every day since 1999, a short hiatus in there for about a half a year, but he is going to join us on the program. We'll also talk Nebraska football recruiting. Brian Munson of Rivals is going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you would like to be a part of today's show, you can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or buzz us on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. That's 888-455-ESPN. We'll go down all of our area results here from classes A, B, and C, but we'll talk mostly D here to start off the program, which was played at Meadowlark Hills the last 2 days, and Randolph rallied yesterday to win the state championship by 3 shots over Overton. Other teams from the area, Fullerton 5th, Heartland Lutheran in Grand Island finished 7th, Axtell finished 11th, and Coach Brian Fleischman of Overton joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Coach, did an overnight sleep change your mood? Good morning. How are you?
I'm not really sure how much sleep I got last night, Doug. I'm not going to lie.
I can imagine.
I'm hoping overnight sleep tonight will make it better. No, you know, it was, we went out to eat after word yesterday, and you know, they were bummed out, obviously. I mean, we were all kind of down, and I don't know, after we sat there for a while and we started talking, and like somebody made the comment, and I just kind of echoed it, and I said, you know, guys, I said, I guess now we know what, you know, Bancroft Rosalie felt like last year. I said, at least we get to bring home a trophy. They didn't even get a trophy when, you know, we came back and came back on them like Randolph did to us this year, but...
How was it different, Brian? Because last year you guys made the comeback to get second, and then this year you were able to go into day two with the lead.
Mm-hmm. You know, last year it was we went into day one last year and said, guys, let's just shoot a score and, you know, don't shoot ourselves out of it. And when we got done, we started 13 strokes back. Last year, I said, guys, I said, somebody's going to have to come back to us, but all we can control is what we do, and let's just go shoot a number and, you know, let the cards fall where they may. And, you know, I don't know. Bancroft was full. They had five seniors last year, so I don't know if the pressure got to them. You know, I don't know if the pressure of the moment got to us a little bit yesterday, too. I'm not sure. You know, we entered this year with a threat of rain on day two. I told him, I said, guys, we're going to have to, let's treat it as a one-day tournament. On Wednesday, let's go shoot a score and, you know, hope that we get 2 days in. But if it is a one-day tournament, let's go do what we need to do. And we did it on day one. And, you know, day two, it's, you know, it is what it is. Randolph played really good yesterday. They had a better back nine than we did. For whatever reason, I have no idea. You know, people have asked me if there's one thing I can pinpoint that happened, and I don't know, maybe that's why I didn't sleep much last night, because I was trying to figure out what that one thing was, and I don't really think it was just one thing. It was just, you know, a culmination of a missed putt here and a missed putt there, and when you lose by three and you score four golfers, I can guarantee you all the kids can find one putt that they missed that they shouldn't have missed.
Yeah, there's always that one shot from the number one guy to the number four guy on day one, on day two, that definitely makes a difference. And you talked yesterday after the round, as we chatted a little bit, that there were a couple holes out there that were a little tougher than others. But how do you think getting to play the state meet on a course that the kids could go play any time just down the road at Meadowlark Hills maybe helped your chances?
I think, you know, it helped us quite a bit this year. It is nice having it a half hour away. You know, we were able to get there a couple times, and the kids, I know, went on their own too, whereas, you know, if teams are further away, they don't have that, you know, opportunity. You know, so it did help us. I know it helped last year because we went to the country club I think we went there three times last year. Like I said, we went to Meadowlark a couple times. You know, they knew where the trouble was and, you know, how the hole's laid out, and there's a few blind shots, and they knew what to expect. I said, it helped us out quite a bit. You know, I'm glad it's not in Lincoln. I like having it out here out west.
We're talking with Overton Eagle coach Brian Fleischman here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Eagles three shots back of Randolph, runner-up for the second consecutive year. Brian, if you would, just kind of talk about your kids. I, when you look at a sport, you know, if a kid drops a pass in the end zone or misses the free throw with 1 second left, you know, everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. Golf is a little unique. You don't know who won until they write that score on the scoreboard, and you can't possibly go out and watch all five of your golfers golf. So just tell us a little bit about your five kids that competed for you.
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because I was talking with Mr. Ayton this morning, and he, you know, Meadowlark is set up in a way to where you can act, you know, it's hard to watch all five at one time. It's about impossible, actually. But the way Meadowlark Hills is set up, you can catch them about every three holes. You can see kids. And we had ours bunched pretty well, you know, from their scores and everything, to where I could, you know, just follow them as they were going through holes. And about every two or three holes, I could catch up to them and kind of visit and see how they were doing and just talk about some things. You know, so it is totally different. You know, in basketball or football, if someone's not, you know, doing what they need to be doing, you can grab someone off the bench, hopefully, and throw them in the game. You know, golf, there's no substituting. It is what it is. And I tell you what, that's the one thing that our kids have really gotten better on, is the mental game of the sport. You know, especially Zach and Creighton. You know, when I took over 2 years ago, it's the third year now of coaching them. When they were sophomores, you know, they'd have a bad hole, and you could tell exactly on their scorecard where it started, because 3 to 4 holes after that weren't good either. And, you know, as seniors this year, they've really just grown and matured to just kind of let those things go. You know, earlier in the year, we were at Arapahoe, and Creighton took a 13 on a par 5, and he ended up shooting 83 for the day. You know, you shoot 8 over par on a hole, and you end up shooting 11 over par for the whole day. He's able to forget stuff, you know, and they've really grown and matured. And I tell you what, the two seniors, Creighton and Zach, you know, I've enjoyed coaching those guys so much. And, you know, we got all done taking pictures yesterday, and we just kind of had a moment where it was just three of us, and we just talked. And I don't know if the finality of the moment hit them all of a sudden that, you know, this is actually it. I'm done with high school sports now or anything. And, you know, there was some tears shed, but I mean, I tell you what, I have enjoyed those two and, you know, just what they brought to the program. And I told them, I said, you guys have left humongous holes and two shoes to fill for the kids coming up. And, you know, let's see if we can figure out who to get in there. But, you know, we've got Sam coming back. He's a sophomore. And Brendan being a freshman coming back. You know, Sam obviously meddling this year. He made some great improvement. And, again, it's the mental side of the game. Every kid that was at the state tournament had something along the way to where some adversity hit him or something bad happened. You know, Sam, for example, day one on hole 4, he hits his approach to the green and it hits a rake in the greenside bunker and shoots it over the road so it goes out of bounds. You know, he easily could have just said, well, you know, there goes my round, I'm done. Well, he steps up and he makes about a 25, 30-foot putt for double bogey and just kind of kept his round going. You know, and the mental game and the kids that can manage that mental game, you know, are the ones that are successful in this sport. And that's where I think you see that in a lot of individual sports, but I think with golf, it's, you know, I don't know, golf's an evil sport at times, you know, and you can go to any golf course and talk to any adult out there, and you love it, but at the same time, it drives you insane.
We're talking with Brian Fleischman. He's the Overton coach, but he's also the principal, and we'll get to that in a moment. But all the hundreds, if you're a coach, if you cover sports for long enough like I have and many media members around here, I mean, there's hundreds and thousands of athletes that we're going to cover and see. But I have to point out Zach Zaleski. Here is a kid that, for probably because of his size and wrestling heavyweight as a freshman, got noticed at a young age by not just the people in Overton, but by the people that went and watched any kind of Fort Kearney Conference sports. And it is interesting on a kid that matures how great this kid is, the smile that he has on his face, yet he got kicked right in the butt when state wrestling finals and then yesterday at state golf. And I know after wrestling, he handled it like a young man. I mean, older than his age. And you talked about a little bit about how things were handled yesterday. What's Zach's plans for the future? And just maybe a little bit more on the sportsmanship that, I guess, if that's the word we're looking for, but it's so much bigger than that. This is a kid that would be a great model for the NSAA to put out there in front of other youngsters.
You hit the nail on the head with Zach. You know, his character, if NSAA wanted a poster child for character, Zach would be top on the list. You know, when state wrestling happened, you know, I'd be the first one. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't upset about it, and it was just driving me insane. And when I saw that kid on Monday, I just went up to him, and I hugged him, and I said, man, it just really stinks. And he looked right at me, and he goes, it is what it is. He goes, I can't go back and change it. He goes, I can sit there and whine and cry about it like everyone else, or I can just move on with life. And I just looked at him, and I said, well, you're handling this a whole heck of a lot better than I am. But, you know, but that's just his character. And, you know, yesterday, and that was probably the worst part of yesterday, I know, just knowing him, I knew he was going to blame himself for what happened, and it sure as heck wasn't his fault. You know, it takes 4 kids to come up with a team score over 2 days. And like I said earlier, when you lose by 3 over the course of 2 days, everyone can find a putt that they shouldn't have missed. And, you know, it was just unfortunate that it came down the way it did. They say we talked a lot about that, but yeah, I mean, his character, you know, I think he was more upset because I think he felt like he let everyone else down. And, you know, that sure as heck wasn't the case, but that's just the kind of kid he is. You know, he does things for himself, but he does so much more for others. And I tell you, his leadership is going to be sorely missed, you know, in Overton Athletics and just in the school in general, in the classroom and everywhere. He's, I believe, if I remember right, he's going to be going to UNK next year just to go to school. He had offers for football and wrestling. I had a couple coaches contact me about him for golf, but, you know, it's just one of those, he just wants to focus on the rest of his life now, and he's a great kid. He's one of those kids that comes through the program that you're, as a teacher and an educator, you feel blessed to just have been able to have him be a part of your life. And, you know, he's one you just don't forget those kids.
Brian, maybe you can also comment. 6 medalists, okay, we medaled 15. 6 of them are out of the Fort Kearney Conference. You had 3, but Axtell, Loomis, Elm Creek all had a medalist yesterday. You guys won the conference meet, so I guess that says something again about your team, but the FKC was well represented.
Yeah, and, you know, and going into it, you know, I was actually hoping that we could get 3 teams in there. You know, Elm Creek just had a rough day at districts, but, you know, those things happen. You know, they still had, you know, the 2 kids, you know, Devin and Dylan qualifying for them. And, you know, Dylan obviously medaling, being a sophomore, he's going to be coming back. So he's going to keep, you know, the FKC hopefully going strong there too. You know, and Jason Palmer down at Loomis and Logan Dolman at Axtell, you know, medaling. Yeah, when I took that picture, I was like, gee whiz, there's 6 of those kids are from our conference. You know, that really says something about, you know, just the strength, you know, of our conference and just the golf out here. People forget about Central Nebraska sometimes, and, you know, well, you know, if you're Lincoln and Omaha, if you get past what Pinnacle Bank's on, what, 10th Street now, so if you get past 10th Street, it doesn't exist to some of them, but, you know, so it's kind of nice when Western, you know, kids out in the western part of the state can actually do something and represent at the state tournament, because I know, like, at Class C, for example, you know, Caleb Moyer down at Cambridge, you know, I believe he was 7th, and I think Hunter Quinn ended up 9th, or Caleb was tied for 7th. You know, just like I said, just kids like that we compete against all year. It was good to see their names pop up, you know, on the leaderboard at the other class, you know, at the state tournaments too, at the other sites and everything. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just fun getting to know those kids over the last few years, and, yeah. They've all got their own personalities, that's for sure.
Well, it's something to say when you got to clear a little space out there, but we joked yesterday, it's time to quit tangling with Randolph. They haven't left a pretty good, they haven't left a very good taste in the basketball or the golf team here in the last 18 months. So let's find a way to take care of them.
Well, yeah, it would have been nice to have done that yesterday to exercise a few demons, but, you know, like, you can't take anything away from the way they played. I mean, they've got 4 sophomores. They're their core of their team. And, you know, I kind of look at them the way I looked at Thayer Central a few years ago, you know, when they went on and started their, you know, 2-year run where they were all sophomores. And I don't see any reason why Randolph wouldn't be one of, you know, the favorite going in next year again. You know, those kids, well, obviously Sam Creighton and Zach played with, you know, players from Randolph. I watched them play, and they keep improving. They're gonna shoot some really low scores next year. And I said that they might have a back-to-back, you know, state champion there for their school. But yeah, like I said, it would have been nice. But, you know, we did it to, like I said, we did it to Bancroft the year before, and I don't like being on this end. I'm not gonna lie. It still kind of stings, but I don't know. I look at the trophy on my desk this morning, and hey, you're funny. You're talking about me being principal. I was running, trying to figure up some honor roll numbers because I haven't had a chance to do that yet and anything else. And I was looking at the trophy on my desk. I'm like, you know, nobody else has, you know, there's me and another coach have a trophy on their desk today. So I don't know. They put things in perspective for you pretty quick.
Well, Brian, the kids did a real good job. 3 of them are back next year. Let's hope that you guys can have another successful season and enjoy some nice days. Maybe just relax on the golf course a little bit. Have a great summer. We'll run into you somewhere.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doug. Thanks for the coverage this year.
You bet, buddy. Great job. Brian Fleischman.
All right.
Overton Golf Coach, they finished as the runner-up yesterday to a Randolph. Fullerton was fifth. Heartland Lutheran finished in seventh. Axtell finished in 11th in a playoff. Kyan Neal of McPherson County parred the first playoff hole, which at Meadowlark Hills was number 16 is what they play, to beat Andrew Schnorr of Randolph. Neal actually had a two-shot lead with two holes to play and three-putted a couple times, so he ends up winning it. Creighton Ryan of Overton was third. Then you've got Logan Dolman of Axtell and Zach Zaleski of Overton tying for sixth. Sam Kulhonik of Overton and Dylan Gilming of Elm Creek tied for 10th. And Jacob Simonson of Heartland Lutheran, Jason Palmer of Loomis tied for 13th in Class D. In Class C, Grand Island Central Catholic, we had Coach Roop on the show on Tuesday. Congratulations to the Crusaders. They were able to hold off a charge from three other teams, and it's Ord, Bishop Newman, and Lincoln Christian, all tied for second. Central Catholic wins it. Southern Valley was sixth. Kearney Catholic ninth. Sutton was 13th. And individually, they also went to a playoff. Jake Hottam of Thayer Central was able to catch up and birdie the second playoff hole to defeat Colin Wright of Plainview and Dana Van Ostrin of Lincoln Christian. Haley Teal out of Bishop Newman did good from the boys' tees. She finished fourth at the state meet. Colton Zalkowski of Ord was tied for fifth. Tucker Krasinski of Central Catholic and Caleb Moyer of Cambridge tied for seventh. Hunter Quinn of Southern Valley tied for ninth. And Ishan Shude of Central Catholic tied for 14th. In Class A, Kearney was 10th, Grand Island 12th at Highlands. Creighton Prep wins it as a team. They were under par yesterday, one under to shoot 287. Your state champion, six under through 2 days, Jack Minnick of Lincoln Southwest, three better than Alex Shackey of Creighton Prep. That's Carson's brother. We had Carson on earlier this month after he won the Big Ten title. Kearney's Austin Murray led the area golfers, went 73-74 to finish at three over and in a tie for eighth. And finally, Scottsbluff wins B over Beatrice, four shots back. And individually, your winner was from McCook in Noah Hoffman. Freshman Caleb Badura of Aurora finished in a tie for third. Ashton Graham of Adams Central finished in eighth. And that's it. High school sports season is over with that. Now we're on to the All-Star Games, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Greg Shea from the Tri-City Storm and Vero Event Center going to join us later on in the program. But when we return, Brian Munson of Rivals.com, talk a little Husker football after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Today we could see some partial sunshine along with areas of showers and storms, especially during the afternoon. Winds will be a bit gusty at times from the northwest, and highs will top out near 72 degrees. This is meteorologist Phil Jensko. Right now it's 68.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, rolling along on a Friday. Good Lord, I'm sorry. I get it. This whole FIFA thing is out of control. I'm more perturbed, upset about the spelling bee than I am about FIFA. We'll get to that a little bit later on, and then I'll have a Big Dally's Deli sandwich, and I'll feel better going into the weekend. Big Dally's just across from Duncan Field, where there's baseball all weekend, because Grand Island and Hastings are hosting this weekend's tournament at Ryder Park in Duncan Field. So if you're going to go watch some baseball, grab yourself a Big Dally's Deli, sit back and relax. Even if you're not going to baseball, it's lunchtime, you're needing to move along, get something quick. All the sandwiches are served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun, cheese, the veggies you want, the condiments that you want. You can make it a meal deal, and it's not just, well, it's not, here you get fries and a soda. No, not at Big Dally's Deli. You can get potato salad, a fruit cup, soup, side salad, chips. They've got desserts and a whole lot more at Big Dally's Deli, where they also offer meat and cheese trays and special lengthy sandwiches if you've got a little get-together or if you're just really, really hungry. Big Dally's Deli across from Duncan Field in Hastings. Well, the Nebraska football team and coaches, more likely, are getting ready for a very busy June here. And to talk a little bit about it, Brian Munson from Rivals.com. Brian, what's going on? Have you survived the floods?
I was wondering if you're going to ask me about that. You know, we got about some areas down here locally got about 4.5 more inches of rain last night. My son had a baseball game at 6 o'clock last night, and we were rained out, at 8 o'clock, and it started raining at 6 o'clock, and they rained everything out in 15 minutes. The water has absolutely nowhere to go. There was water coming up from the manholes this morning driving into work, a typical Rowlett Creek that I drive over every day, which is a nice, peaceful creek, about 20 feet wide and about a foot deep. Today was about 300 feet wide and about 6 feet deep. And that's no joke. It's been unbelievable. It's a record-breaking month for us for rain. I think it's over 20 inches of rain. It's been great because we know the faucet's going to turn off at some point, but all at one time, it's just been way too much for us to have to deal with.
I text Jared Crick within the last week here when things were getting crazy. I guess it was probably when some of the fans got stranded at Houston after the NBA game, and he said where he's at, it's not good, but he says where the rest of Houston is, some of the places are just horrible down there, and we've all gone through it at some point in some fashion. I mean, Omaha had it here about 3 years ago when Council Bluffs were, when you flew over, it was just unbelievable to see from one time to another how things were. So hopefully everything's good for you guys down there. When something like this happens, though, in the great state of Texas, how can it affect all these things that these kids want to get going here, and specifically on football? Has it thrown them off at all?
You know, I think 7-on-7s are just kicking off. I mean, school is wrapping up down here. I think a couple schools actually wrapped up last Friday. I know my wife and son are in middle school together until the end of next week. But, you know, 7-on-7s have been kind of kicking off. It's here and there. It's obviously crippled the baseball season, which started back, you know, in the later part of February, early part of March. And, you know, it's been non-existent. You know, it's been completely washed out in that area. But spring football went on. I think that there hasn't been a lot of impact there. Obviously, they can move that inside. I think that they're looking good. You know, the rain's out of the forecast, I think, starting on Sunday. So probably that's when the faucet turns off, because that's the end of the month, and we won't see it again until next March.
Well, there's a lot going on. We're talking with Brian Munson of Rivals. Big Red Weekend is coming up next weekend, and as we get closer, the names start growing. How big is this going to be, and who are three or four of those kids that you're really looking forward to seeing?
Well, I mean, obviously the headliner, I think, is still kind of on the fence, is Matt Farniok. Now, Farniok has been invited to go out to Baltimore next week, and I caught up with Farniok last night real briefly. I finally got a chance to – everybody's been busy with finals, so it's been very difficult to reach some of these guys because they're so dedicated in both areas of academics and athletics. But Farniok said that actually he'll be in Baltimore that first week in June, so that 6th, 7th, he'll be out there for the Rivals 5-Star Challenge. as part of our rival summer camp series, which is a great honor for him. He has a chance to bump up his rating, and I think he's very well worth it too. I think he's opened up a lot of eyes. You don't think the talent exists like that in South Dakota, but that just makes him one of those guys that Nebraska obviously has to get. And there's another Farniok coming up. I think he's just a sophomore. So Matt is a guy that is looking to try to get in the weekend of the 13th, which is sounds like, you know, to me could be a big weekend for Nebraska. You have Jack Stoll, who's a tight end for Arvada, Colorado. He's been in Nebraska one time before. It sounds like it's really down in Nebraska and Texas. He will make return visits to both Lincoln and Austin. Bo Wilson is an interesting guy. Now, Nebraska made an offer to Bo Wilson from Lee Summit, Missouri, probably here in the last 3 to 4 weeks. And you wouldn't think that Nebraska would go and recruit another 6'3" offensive lineman, because you'd think between like Reardon and Brokop that potentially that they're done at that position. But go watch Wilson's film, because that kid is special. He is a really good-looking player, and it's in an area I think that Nebraska needs to be able to be effective and go and dip into at any one time and grab guys out of that area. So Bill Wilson's coming in there, and obviously you have like Keyshawn Johnson Jr., Tristan Gebbia, the guys from Calabasas, California, that have been there before in early March, are coming back for a return visit. You have Santino Martial, the linebacker from Colorado as well, 2017 kid. He'll be in Lincoln as well. I think that the date's still kind of in flux with him, but he has an offer from Nebraska. And again, I think Colorado is one of those states that Coach Riley and his staff have kind of circled and said, we need to be more successful here. Because if you go back through the years, you know, recently, go back as far as 5-6 years ago, if Nebraska gets, you know, two guys every year out of Colorado, I think that things are looking better from a talent perspective, because there's been a lot of guys that come out of the state of Colorado that didn't get Nebraska offers and gone to other places and had a lot of success. I think Nebraska needs to be much more effective there as well as in Missouri.
Brian Munson, Rivals.com. What about the local guys? I'm starting to see some stuff on Husker Online, and as I check this out, you know, somebody's close, maybe somebody's changing their mind. Where are we at with in-state?
So Ben Steely is going to be coming in, and I think that it's big for him, because this is an opportunity, I think, for him to kind of get to really know the staff. He didn't get that opportunity very well at the spring game, and he admitted to me when I talked to him in St. Louis that there was just so much going on at that time that it just wasn't possible for him to sit down and have a great meeting. And he didn't have an offer from Nebraska at that time either. He was kind of a guy that was just getting on the scene because of the offers he was picking up at the time, you know, and then he gets that offer from Iowa and things really start to change. So Vince Lee from Ashland is going to be there in Lincoln for Big Red Weekend. I think that's probably a good time, I think, for people to start looking at the calendar and saying, well, when's this guy going to come off the board and become a Cornhusker? And I think that that's probably a very good time to predict that one is coming off the board and being a Cornhusker. Obviously, he wants a shot on defense. You put the film on, and I saw him play defense in St. Louis doing some one-on-ones. I think he's just – it's a lack of real experience at that position against better talent, which I think he can get. He has a great frame. He has a good motor. I personally like him a little bit better as a tight end. And I think that the need at tight end is pressing in this class, although not saying that defensive end is not. I think Ben has got great body control. I think he can play the tight end position real well. And you have Noah Fant. Noah Fant is a guy that took a recent visit out to Vanderbilt, and he was on a June timeline to make a commitment, and now it looks like he's going to push it back to July, and he wants to make some more visits. I think maybe the Vanderbilt visit has got him thinking a little bit more. I think in the end, though, that Noah ends up being a Cornhusker, true, legit 6'5" guy, about 220 pounds, a little bit light, but super quick. I mean, incredibly quick. Was beating guys off the line in the snap at St. Louis when I saw him, and really fun to watch, and you got to see him, you know, somewhere down the line at 265 pounds to see what really could be, because he's just, you know, he's just not there physically quite yet, but he has a great frame and a great quickness and a great motor to start with.
Brian, this is the time now where we start looking at kids that we haven't, I don't know, this was about the time last year we're talking Johanna Gaifon. We talk about the kids that were in that junior class, maybe that are moving into the junior class. Are there some kids in this part of the state to keep an eye on or any part outside of the metro?
You know, I think obviously there are. I think that there's, you know, I've heard rumors about a number of kids, particularly from, I think I heard that a lot of kids from Holder's going to be down there in Lincoln this summer for camp. I just kind of heard the rumors about it. You know, we're going to have great camp coverage from Husker Online with Sean Callahan and Nate Klaus being there in Lincoln, going out there and giving you coverage on all the local guys. We don't have a real good grip around the guys that are out there. I know that I've also heard some guys from Central City that are going to be down there that we're interested in getting a closer look at. But at the time, it's really difficult to say outside the metro area who the guys are that we know about that are in the future classes and in the 2017 class. But we do know about some of them coming down the lake in the summer.
All right, Brian. This is a little off topic, but I touched on it a couple of times earlier, and I know you guys are focused on recruiting and really there with football, but if I know you, you kind of keep an eye on everything else. I was a little puzzled by the pay raise that Tim Miles got earlier this week. Is this just something that you have to chalk up to, this is the way it is in BCS conferences and all major sports, or is there more to it?
I think there's definitely something to be said about that. I think there is, that is the world that's there. I think obviously what Miles did last year, is what should be the expectation and the hope, you know, if not every year, it's on a fairly consistent basis. I think a lot of people look back at where he came from in Colorado State and they saw the success that he was having with the kids from Nebraska. And I think that was disappointing to some people, that those kids were having to leave the state, number one, to go into Colorado to play for a coach that obviously saw talent and was able to put something together and then put that team into the tournament on a consistent basis. And I think that's the next thing that has to happen is, you know, that he has to get the recruiting classes that he wants. He has to get to the roster that he wants. I think that's the real end goal, right, is to get the roster right. And then to be able to go out there and compete. And I think that last year was no fluke. That 2 years ago was no fluke. And that should be, you know, on a very regular basis. That should be a team that should see the tournament every single time. Now what you're looking for is a first-round win and the first one in Nebraska history. So I think that in the climate and the landscape of what's expected here in college athletics is that extension comes. And it's based on necessarily the last season, but on kind of a body of recent work. And, that's probably more to that than anything else, like the disappointment I think that a lot of people felt from this last season.
Brian Munson's got his finger on the pulse of the Husker recruiting nation for Rivals.com and Husker Online. Tell Noah hi and send me pictures of the Ark when you get to go inside, okay?
I will do it, man. Well, good weekend. Hopefully I don't wash away.
That's right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Brian. Brian Munson on the Doug and Daddy Show, and our Husker Recruiting Talk is brought to you by TNL Irrigation. See your local TNL Irrigation dealer for the very latest from the GPS navigation corner system to PP3. They can take care of all of your pivot needs, whether you're there or not. You can control it via GPS off your smartphone, off the computer at your home, wherever you have the capability. You can start it, you can stop it, you can change its directions. You don't have to run out and manually do it by hand every single time. Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney can tell you more about it. So can Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island. They work hard just like the Huskers because they're like no other TNL irrigation system. Let's do our Fanatics trivia. Coming up next, Greg Shea is going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We have four Fanatics Friday trivia, one winner per household every 3 months. And as we go to break, give us a call at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Our trivia question today is based a little bit on Greg Shea. When he was just a young pup, Greg was getting into the business, and he worked for a professional basketball team in Omaha. This semi-pro basketball team in Omaha was named what? What's the nickname of the now defunct, which had nothing to do with Greg, semi-pro basketball team in Omaha? The Omaha what? First correct caller at 888-455-3776 gets a $25 gift certificate to Fanatics as part of our Fanatics Friday quiz. We'll be right back.
Nothing beats the freedom of hitting the road on your bike.
But each year, over 90,000 people are killed or injured in motorcycle accidents.
That's why the Nebraska Safety Center is here.
Call the Nebraska Safety Center at 865-8256 for classes for new or experienced riders and those who haven't ridden in a few years.
You'll learn the rules of the road with classroom and driving range instruction and skills that will keep your time on your bike safe and carefree.
More details and registrations are available on the Nebraska Safety Center website or call 865-8256.
Motorcycle Education Classes, another service of the Nebraska Safety Center.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This is Dave, and Dad doesn't need another pair of socks for Father's Day. He'll be happier with a freshly cut, thick, and juicy steak. Stop at Custom Pack, and we can help you pick the perfect Father's Day dinner gift for the old man. Trust me, we have been helping families pick what Dad would want for dinner since 1947.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
Congratulations to Jim from Kearney. He knew that the Omaha Racers were the semi-pro basketball team that Gregory Shea began his That was our Fanatics quiz.
It's a great memory.
I was glad that you didn't run in here and yell out the answer because I figured you probably knew it. But yes,
how many owners did the Omaha Racers have in their history?
Was it just 10, or do they have like 100?
Well, they were around 8 years, I believe. I was there 6 of the 8. It was in the first 2 months that I was with the team, we had 2 owners. They had three. 3 owners, and the last owner mothballed the team. Instead of selling it, he just mothballed it.
I mean, we never come back from that, just like Indiana's not coming back in the USHL. Chicago has changed a little bit of ownership, but did want to congratulate Jim. He wins the $25 gift card to Fanatics, your sports bar dedicated to bringing you the game, great food, and good times. Follow your favorite sporting events while you're kicking back, enjoying either the wings, pizza, something for the kids. They've got a menu for just the youngsters, and who can't have a few corn dogs in there? Mini corn dogs, you got to love them. And folks, don't forget with the nice weather, the Bullpen Outdoor Beer Garden is open. You can use it also for receptions and private parties. Talk to the gang down at Fanatics, a block north of the track, Central Avenue in Kearney. Well, again, every once in a while, we're just rolling along, and bang, something just smacks you right in the face. And we were just ending the show yesterday when the press release came out from Jared Schaffran saying that Greg Shea was going to change jobs, go in a different direction, leave the Storm and the Viero Event Center, which I think some people may or may not know. I mean, you're there all the time. We touched on it briefly while we were at the end of the show yesterday, but Greg joins us in studio today, and I believe congratulations are in order, Greg, for a couple of reasons. A, you're doing, again, something you want to do. This isn't that you don't want to do what you're doing now, but you're going to do something else that you want to do, and congratulations and thanks for the outstanding job you've done out there since 1999. I still remember where we were for that inaugural press conference.
First off, thank you. I guess you call it bittersweet. You know, I don't know what else to call it. A hard, long decision. This wasn't as someone put it the other day, yesterday, said, was this a knee-jerk deal? No, not at all. Even the timing of it was to be very, I love the Storm. I love the Viero Event Center. I will support both as long as I'm in Kearney, and my plan is to be in Kearney with this move. Someday I hope to retire. Someday I hope to be, you know, I enjoy life, but, you know, to where when I'm 60-something that I can, you know, not work 70 hours a week, you know. But I love both those brands. They've been a huge part of my professional career. And the opportunity that Mr. Brooks presented back in 2009 was one that at first I told someone this morning. I said, I told Mr. Brooks three times no. And I said no because I knew how hard the job was going to be. At the same time, my wife said, you're going to do that. I know you're going to do that. You're saying no, but I know you're going to do that because the Storm is special to you. When you were a part of something that started from a sports bar in Omaha over a napkin on what to name the team, what the colors should be, and Ted Bear, you know, said, "Oh, I know what the color's going to be." Pulled that. He had just ordered a purple. He loved purple, so he pulled all this Rockies, Vikings. You know, he's like, "It's going to be purple." I go, "Well, yeah, it's going to be purple, obviously, Mr. Bear." it's hard to detach from that. So yeah, to finally pull the trigger and do it is a whole nother step. I've been a highly, ask my kids, they want something all the time and they know how conservative I am. So I'm highly conservative and from a, you know, just very cautious, you know, just, I've never been one to make a knee jerk type of decision. Although the concert industry has taught me a different side of me. The short answer to what has been a long story is, I felt like the time was right, to make this change. And, we're on good grounds. We're moving in the right direction. I think there's going to be some news that's coming out later today. We'll tell you that, along with some other things we're working on, they're going to tell you that we're headed in the right direction, from both a team and event center standpoint. And, I'm going to try something completely different, and I'm going to go to work for, I've been afforded an opportunity to go to work for Edward Jones. And, you know, before you crash your car or wherever or choke on your meal or whatever you're doing, because you're thinking, how could I do that? You know, I've watched them from afar. I know all the people that are involved. They're community stakeholders. They're people that I highly respect, and to be asked to be a part of it, one is like, oh, how could I do that? I don't know that. But what I do know is I know how to treat people. The best practices that I've used, because I'm not the smartest guy in the room, never will be. But it's how you treat people. It's how I got to where
this,
you
know, is a small room. You're number one here.
No, and I know I've been looking around, going, "Wow, here we go again." I'm now not the smartest guy again in the room. So now that's what's happening. And you know, I don't know what was harder, telling the guy I consider to be a friend, the guy that I've worked for and worked with, and he's never treated me like an employee. Like I feel like you know, I never had any skin in the game. It's Kirk Brooks's, it's his checkbook, it's his wallet. And despite how big that wallet is, it's still serious money. It's serious business. And I treated it like it was my own to tell him or to tell my kids, because I got two kids that play hockey and one that likes to pop popcorn and take tickets and be, I mean, and the answer is, guys, you get to still do that. I'm just going to be working on the other side of town, but we intend to go on down that side of town to, for entertainment, for Storm hockey. I hope FKC basketball. Mm-hmm. I hope volleyball. I hope other things that I think are going to materialize and continue to happen. There's going to be great things going on there.
Greg Shea's with us in studio. He is going to step down from the presidency of the Viero Event Center and the Storm. And I guess, I don't know, there's no way to sugarcoat this. We finally are not talking about a bad hockey team and a building that we're, I mean, the joke was, I mean, hey, let's put a casino in the archway and let's put corn in the Viero Event Center, which was something else that's been named something before that. We haven't had to talk about that here for a little while, and obviously you're a big reason why, but this wasn't always smooth. There were definitely rocky times, and one of them led to your departure for a short amount of time before Cook took over the squad here.
I think that grain bin was serious. I think that would have been a large grain bin.
Yes. Corn wasn't.
Yeah, no, it's a delicate business and two businesses, you know. Everybody sees the side of what looks to be exciting and glamorous, and then on paper naturally think, well, they sell this much product, there must be there's a lot of work there, there's a lot of wheels that are turning that are expense wise, and the revenues, I will say winning helps those revenues. It does. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and we experienced that this year. And I to me, there's no reason that can't continue, because players, this was a big shift. Kids didn't want to come here and play. I think you've interviewed Kirk on that, and players were, they didn't want to wear the logo. They didn't want anything associated with it. Wow. You start winning some games. You start recruiting the way that you have to recruit. This is no different than, I mean, we don't have the tools or the resources that a college program has to recruit, but it's still a recruiting game. There's still people out on the road representing the Storm that are recruiting athletes, walking into the living room. I mean, it's the same game as the college game, and hopefully you're recruiting those athletes with a promise that they're going to get a Division I scholarship. So it's a weird, you know, set of dynamics from that. And once the pieces started to be put in place, players wanted to play here. Chris Wilkie, who was named second team yesterday, should have been first team. Yeah. But, you know, I still think, cross my fingers, I'm so excited for that kid's future. I hope he gets drafted this summer in the NHL. His dad was a 9-year veteran in the NHL. He's a great story in that he didn't want to come. I mean, I think initially it was like, I don't really want to come play for the Storm. I mean, I want to play junior hockey. I'm going to go on and play at North Dakota. I plan to go on and play professional hockey. He came here. He experienced. And, man, I watched that kid grow up, and I saw a kid who was, like, kind of cocky and, you know, like, okay, Kearney, Nebraska, the Storm, what, you know. And the reality is, he came into my office a couple of weeks ago when the season was over and said, Mr. Shea, I appreciate everything. I said, I didn't do anything. I said, I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate the opportunity to watch you mature, and not only off the ice, but on the ice, and your future is so bright. That wouldn't have happened had Mr. Brooks not put some of those pieces in place. And then of course, you got to dial right into Jim Holton. You got and we've had great coaches. Well,
that's where I wanted to go, Greg, too, because all the way from Hilly to Bliss to Tom to Drew to Josh and now Jim. I don't think I left anybody out there. There was a period there from Bliss to Jim where rock bottom was seen. Whether the feet were touching, I don't know, but rock bottom was seen. And they all seem like good guys, and I'm not a coach, so I can't put my finger on it. But I guess from your perspective, there has to be something that Jim found or did better, or without any offense to any of the other guys, what's his magic potion?
How long is this show? Because we could have a lot of fun. I consider all of those guys to be friends. I'm sure I'll be talking to Bliss. In truth be told, I'm not a hockey guy. I mean, I grew up in Kearney, Nebraska. I never grew up with it. But the game, the people, the process, it doesn't matter what the sport is. They're coaches. They coach. They recruit. They're the best salespeople. So, at the end of the day, I've gotten to know all these guys, and you know, I occasionally call Drew. You know, Drew had a tough run, but I could tell you great Drew stories. For you know, I mean, the guy had an unbelievable personality. What made Jim different? He's like a CEO. Like the way he operated. I saw it. I picked him up. He was walking towards the arena the morning of the press conference. I'd never met this guy. I remember Kurt Brooks gives me a call and said, "Greg, I hate to do this, but we got to talk about making a change again." And everybody knows the story. Josh raced back from Dubuque, Iowa. He was the coach at the time. His wife went into had emergency C-section, and I've been having this conversation about changing his life and just feeling like, wow, I can't believe this is going to happen. I will tell you this. Kirk Brooks took care of every guy that coached here like no owner's ever taken care of a coach, which I'm proud to be associated with that. Guys left here, and I think a respect for Kirk. Hey, I didn't get the job done, but they weren't left empty-handed. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, what are we going to do? Who are we going to get? He goes, well, I don't know this guy, but somebody said this Jim Holton's out of work. He's up in Canada. He goes, I've never talked to him before, but I think we can get him. Really? Okay. That was on a Friday, and by Monday, the wheels are turning. Tuesday, we're having a press conference. I got to pick up Jim. I'd never met the guy. I talked to him on the phone on a Sunday night, and you know, one of these, here we go again. He's walking towards the arena, carrying a briefcase. Never seen that before. And jumped in the car. We chat. I said, do you want to go meet the team? He goes, no. I want to spend as much time finding out the history of this team. It was just a different. He's been in the game a long time. He operates at a very special level. He's a great communicator. He's hard. I mean, you can ask some players. He's not your friend. In practice, he's not your friend in life. I mean, he coaches hard. He's hard on his players. At the end of the day, though, he gets results and he cares. He truly cares. So I think you're going to hear later today. There's some good news coming out about him. I can't say what he's going to do other than I think the direction is really positive with him.
So that leads me to the next question.
That was really bad, by the way.
Well. Jimmy in the interim here is that hot commodity. I don't think the news that's coming out later today has anything to do with that part of it, but a decision has to be made because camp is coming up soon and the next year gets going already. So two things. Are we in the long haul here for Coach Holton to be here and also Mr. Brooks? A lot of people thought when his boy left the Storm, which has been 3 years ago now, I think, that he would be looking to go ahead and sell and move on. What's the status of those two, if you can share that on your way out?
Yeah, I can do as best as I can. I think Jim's in a obviously he's in a great position. Not that he's trying to use leverage or whatever, but he's a hot commodity. Mm-hmm. He's a household name in the business now. No one in the USHL was really aware of him. He was an NHL guy. He was a Canadian guy. Everybody knows now in the USHL who Jim Holton is. And I think Jim's bigger. The big picture is back to the pro level. At the very least, an eventual high level junior gig back in Canada, major junior, which is another level. I think those are the two big pieces. Those jobs are hard to come by, very hard to come. It's like anything. The network for hockey really gets shrunk down. The clock is ticking. I think he loves Kearney, by the way. I mean, he's a small town guy, grew up on a dairy farm. You get to know him. Ask Big Daddy. Mm-hmm. I got them two together one night after a game, and you find out Jim's quite a storyteller too. I think those pieces are looking like right now that Kearney's in the scope. And I think it has to be more than a one-year commitment to do that. And that's the tough part. But I think the win is for the Storm is probably can't be a one-year deal. It's got to be a couple of years, which that's good for everybody involved. What's Kirk's picture? Kenny's gone. Kenny's going to be senior at Penn State this year. I think, and Kirk, you know, is he's straightforward. We're having some success now. We're selling more season tickets. He loves the business. He's, you gotta remember, this guy is, you don't want to sit at a craps table with him. You don't want to sit at a poker table. I mean, he's a gambler. I mean,
that's how he made his money.
But he's but he's probably the most honest, straightforward, and what a lot of people don't know, he's very much a family guy. And I think that he cares about the people that work for him. He cares about this product, and he will, whether he owns it for 5 years or 10 years, he's going to position it when the day comes that it's another great, it'll be a good transition versus, you know, threats and things that aren't positive. They're ugly and then turn people off and, you know, all that. I think he's in it. The timetable, nobody knows. And I don't think he'd be on here today saying, I don't know. I like what's happening right now. I want to win. And there's a lot of things that are positive going on. Let's see if we can keep that going and shrinking them, the level of check. And that's the nice thing, is the check that he's had to write to offset has really shrunk. It's not all the way where it needs to be, but it's a lot better than it was six years ago when he started. And I think if that's the trend, I mean, you never know. It could be in it for 10, could be in it for 15. Right now I know he wants to win. Nobody wants to win more than he wants to win, and he loves that part of the game.
Last couple of moments here with Greg Shea, who announced yesterday that he is stepping away from his duties as president of the Viero Event Center, the Tri-City Storm. Going to go work for Edward Jones, as he told us earlier in the interview. June 18th is your last day. You might have a vacation day or two left in there. But you told me this morning you're working on some concert stuff. I don't know if you can divulge anything, but what do you still need to do here in the next 3 weeks?
I've got some big pieces. And again, I'm nervous about the future. I'm excited about the future. There's so many things about it that are scary but exciting. So I've got that weighing in my head. I said at the beginning, and I love the job. The job I do, I love. Like, you know, I don't necessarily like getting home at 2:30 in the morning after a con. You know, that mm-hmm. grind was part of the reason why I thought, could I do that for 20 more years? And probably not. It's not fair to my wife. It's not fair to my kids. It's been a big part of that, but it's not something I felt like I could do for 20 more years. And you got to start thinking of those retirement things and all that. I'm going to have a kid in college in another, year. You know, you'll be a senior at Kearney High. So there's things that are like, okay, I got to make some big choices here. There's good things happening. I'm really excited about where we are with our naming rights partner. I'm excited about where we are on the fall lineup of shows in the first quarter of next year. That's going to be the part that I love. I love all those pieces. I love to see the game itself, the day-to-day game. I love it's business. But again, on 2:30 in the morning after a concert and all those things are part of the gig, but for 20 more years was the part I'm going to have to work hard regardless of what I do, because as I said earlier, I'm not very smart, so I got to work really hard. But it's, I don't know that I want to work till 3 a.m, 2:30, yeah. And that's the part of the gig that wears people down. And, I felt like this is the right time if I was going to make a transition, why things are healthy.
Greg, it appears there's some rumblings all out there at the event center already that the only reason you're sticking around till the 18th is that you might still have a chance to win the office Stanley Cup pool. Now, is there any truth to that?
Well, I picked the Capitals to win, so I guess not. I lost that deal. Now, with some things materializing, see, I love being around it so much. There's a couple of things that could happen. I'm like, man, maybe I could stretch that for another week, but Now that's even strategic. My kid plays baseball with some of your coaches of some of your listeners, and they're taking the boys all to a Rockies game on the night of the 19th, mm-hmm. and that'll be a neat opportunity to be with my youngest to go to the Rockies game. So I picked the 18th so I could drive to Denver on the 19th. How's that?
Yeah, you have fun there, and I guess I won't invite you to my birthday party on the 19th, and so you're going to miss out.
Wow.
I know. Your kids and Rockies
are finally turning 30?
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? It's
or 25 or whatever you are.
Greg Shea here with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's stepped in to help us from time to time as well. And, of course, we've had our association as the radio partner of the Storm for a number of years now, and hopefully that's going to continue as well. And I guess I want to give you the last word. I asked all my questions. Is there anything else that you'd like to say?
I don't. You know, it's kind of crazy that this is a big deal, because it's, you know, we're – in the end of the day, it's just life. It's just doing stuff. But you know, again, I love Kearney. This has been an unbelievable opportunity for great people, and now I get to do it with another great group of people and a great brand. And it's, you know, I love working with people. So I guess I'm going to continue to get that opportunity, and I get to now know that, you know, there isn't any. You know, got to do the work, obviously, but I know I can stay in Kearney, and I know I can, you know, balance some things in the process. And I'm looking forward to the next 20 years, and knowing it's right here. So,
well, work on your golf game, would you?
Yeah, that's been missing. It wasn't very good to begin with. So,
Greg, always appreciate it. I know you won't be a stranger, but we'll be in touch. And thanks for everything you've done back and forth with us here at Platte River Radio.
Well, it's a pleasure. You're a professional and one of the best in the biz. So it's always been fun. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, buddy. Greg Shea with us here in studio. As he mentioned, there were three members of the Storm that were named second team All-Conference yesterday. Chris Wilkie, Bobby Nardella, and Alec Dillon. Forward Chris Wilkie, he's headed on to North Dakota. Nardella is committed to Notre Dame. And, of course, for Dillon, he was, as Greg mentioned, a draft pick by the Los Angeles Kings and is committed to RPI, which made the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament before falling to Omaha this past season. We'll take a break. There's some news coming out of Grand Island. We'll have it after this.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
You'll have fun!
Take a lunch break today at Bonner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. How about an out-of-this-world taco salad, marinated Heartland steak sandwich, or grilled chicken, bacon, and Swiss? Full bar service, too. And you can play Keno and watch and wager on thoroughbred racing from all the top tracks. So race to the finish line, number one for food and fun.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing, or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Hanging with us is like spending an afternoon at the pool with your buddies, only without the water and women in bathing suits.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. The Midway Auto Group is there for you on South 2nd Avenue and more than you expect for less than you imagine. Right now, you can get 15% of the manufacturer's suggested retail price cash back on select 2015 Chevrolet models like the Malibu, the Traverse, the Equinox, the Cruze, and the ever-popular Impala. You can also get 0% APR for 60 months when you purchase a new 2014 Impala from what's left on the lot. Find out more today at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Check out their brand-new, wide-open, ready for you used car superstore. It's also on South 2nd Avenue. The old Killian Motors lot is now a part of the Midway Auto Group. Midway, thinkmidway.com. It's a better way. Let's see, what else? We got this to talk about. They haven't told us who it is, and I'm sure by the time the press conference happens Monday, we'll know who it is, but Grand Island Central Catholic has found their new head football coach, and he will be named and introduced on Monday. A press conference will be held Monday morning at 11 a.m., and we will work to have the new coach join us on Monday's Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. So, again, we had Bob Jensen on earlier this week. All these new coaches, 48 of them in high school football right now in Central Catholic. He said there were still a couple of job openings, obviously, with Coach Shoemaker going from Central Catholic to Hastings just over a week ago. Now we have this going on with the Crusaders needing to make a hire. Got one more rant here that I'm going to go on. So I got a couple other things that I want to throw out here before we get to the final rant today. And game sevens, here they are. Hockey, we're ready to roll. Tampa Bay at the New York Rangers tonight at 7. Chicago and Anaheim will play tomorrow. Royals at the Cubs. I'd have to go, I mean, Timmy Kirchen would have to look this up for me. The stats folks that do it for the National will have to find this out. How many times has a Major League Baseball team played back-to-back series at Yankee Stadium and Wrigley Field? Now, albeit we have some renovations and Yankee Stadium is an old Yankee Stadium, but think about it. With interleague play, that's the only way you could do it. And it is, you know, the odds. I don't know who, what, when, but that's what the Royals are going through. And hopefully they get more wins in Chicago than they did in New York, because that didn't go so well. Don't need to hit a long losing streak here and stay right where they want to be atop the American League, Central and American League overall. But that's a different, I mean, you go from Yankee Stadium to Wrigley Field. That's what the Royals get to experience. Game one this afternoon at 3:05. You can hear that, as always, on The Breeze 94.5. Again, thanks to all the coaches, ADs. It's a proper time to talk about that now that the high school sports season officially comes to an end, wrapping up yesterday with a state golf. College baseball gets underway today. All the regionals across the country are rolling. We mentioned it briefly there earlier in the show that Grand Island and Hastings are hosting this weekend Senior Legion action at Ryder Park in Grand Island. Kearney Runza plays Omaha Burke this afternoon at 2, then Lincoln U-Stop at 4:30. Home Federal will then play U-Stop at 7 for Hastings Five Points Bank. They will be at Duncan Field and face Lincoln Northeast tonight at 7. And, of course, action continues all weekend long. If you're looking for baseball in Kearney, Five Points Tournament is going on this weekend, today, tomorrow, and on into Sunday. To wrap things up, Nebraska Danger play at Colorado tonight. Look for their 10th win of the season, 9-2 against the Colorado Ice, who they had to rally to beat last week. I tried to find out as many details as I could and put producer Caleb on this. He found me some info as well. But one of the great American institutions, as we know it, is over. It's done. I'm gonna step right up and say, yes, hell yes, I watched the Spelling Bee last night. There wasn't a lot on. I mean, so that's one of the reasons. But I watched the Spelling Bee, was entertained by it, amazed by it, enthralled by it. But yesterday when the show ended here, they have a semifinal. It's become corporate. Maybe ESPN has ruined the Spelling Bee. I don't know where you want to go here. We're interviewing the kids. We're doing mini little stories on them to put in during the Spelling Bee, like the NFL draft. It's, again, we're talking kids that are 10 to 14. You can be younger than that to compete, but they don't. They very rarely get this far. But now, you don't even have a true champion. And I'm not talking about the kids tying the last 2 years. They've had co-champions the last 2 years because they pick a set amount of words. And if they use all these so-called championship words, which I believe is about 25 of them, then it's over. And you could have two or three youngsters tie for the title. But what I don't get is that the so-called semifinal round, if they run out of time, well, we got a new system. We're taking these 10 kids, and I'm sorry, you 15 or 17 that we're not taking. You didn't miss anything. You didn't do anything wrong. You're just not advancing. You're just not advancing. And you can't even say it's like the Little League World Series where you rain it out and you just take the team that was undefeated. Apparently, they give a multiple choice test on the opening day once they get out there to D.C. One section is spelling and three sections of vocabulary. The oral round is the morning of day two with the two rounds on stage. And then you get points for all of this. And whoever accumulated the most points, I guess, ends up being in the top 10 finals. I have a hard time. I have a hard, hard time looking at a youngster that has done what they've done in one of the hardest competitions. Now there's more of them, the National Geography B and all that stuff. But this was the first one. It's 88 years, people. They've ruined the spelling bee. If you can't get to where they're at by misspelling a word. You won at your elementary school. You won at your local region, your state, all the levels that you've went. You've won, you've qualified. And you get to the National B, you don't miss a word. Sorry, you're not in the finals. It's wrong to screw with America. And they just screwed with America. That's what just happened, people. They have messed with America and the spelling bee. I'm sorry, you've ruined it. I don't have a problem with the kids as co-champions. I have a problem with not letting every kid that earned their way there have a chance to be a champion. What'd you do, run out of tough words? Is that it? We don't have tough enough words? Good Lord. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, basically, which organization is more corrupt. Only Caleb, our producer, phrased it a little bit better. Which international organization would you trust more to make decisions without corruption? The International Olympic Committee or what's going on with FIFA and the governing body of soccer? And, of course, I figured this is how the vote would go because soccer's in the news right now. 78% said they'd rather have the Olympic Committee making decisions. And at FIFA, it looks like Sepp Blatter will once again be the FIFA president because the Prince of Jordan, Ali bin al-Hussein, withdrew at the last moment here. So I don't know if he found out that he wasn't going to win or what the deal is. So we'll see if FIFA can come out of this whole deal here. Comment?
They went two rounds of voting. So first they have to get two-thirds of the vote. That didn't work. Then they had to get a simple majority. They did the second round. And so the Prince of Jordan, he decided to just withdraw rather than go through actually losing the vote.
I'm taking my name out of consideration for the head coaching job because you weren't going to get it. That's how that works. After ending in a tie, more on the Midtown Mark Cooler question. After ending in the tie for the second year in a row, does the National Spelling Bee need to change how the champion is determined? Yes, extend the list of champion words. Yes, create a tiebreaker. Or no, leave it as it is. Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. We'll have it up for you every day. And, of course, on Friday, it's up over the weekend at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, that's going to wrap things up. We had a very full show today, and we want to thank all of our guests, including Greg Shea, president of the Tri-City Storm and Viero Event Center, and will be for another 3 weeks. Also, to our other guests that joined us earlier, in Brian Munson from Rivals.com, talking Husker football recruiting, and Overton golf coach Brian Fleischman, after finishing as the state runner-up in D for the second year in a row. Congratulations to the teams and the youngsters that competed not only this week, but in all of the spring festivities. It's been a busy couple of weeks crowning champions. We will effort the new Grand Island Central Catholic football coach on Monday's Doug and Daddy show. It'll be the first day of June. The UNK Blue Gold Golf Tournament is going on Monday. So Metal Arc Hills and Kearney Country Club hosting those. They still have a spot or two for you. Go to Lopers.com to learn more. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew.
Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.